Hey, hey, re-engage. Look who's here, Leonard.
Hey, guys.
I'm always
back.
Here. I said that like it was not fun. I love being here with y'all.
Hey, well, let me pray first, and then we can get started. Father, thank you for today. Lord, thank you, as Matt said, however we're coming in tonight, that you are there for us. And you want us to be drawn to yourself in relationship, first and foremost with you, and you want us to honor our spouses as you have commanded us in your word and in the covenant that we made before you in getting married. And so, Lord, I just pray that tonight would be hopeful and encouraging by our story and all the things that you have done and all the things that you are continuing to do. And so may your name be lifted high, and may you be glorified in everything we do and say. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, we're the Bagdanovs. We've been married 17 years. We have two kids. Our daughter Hope is 15, and our son Andrew is 14. And our prayer tonight is that you would be encouraged by what the Lord has done and what he is doing and what he's going to do in our marriages as we follow him and allow his spirit to do his work in and through us. And we believe that is possible for every marriage here tonight. Marriages will have ebbs and flows or peaks and valleys, and the important thing is what we do in those times and how you respond. But before we get any further, here's a little bit about us.
So, hi, friends. It is a privilege to be here tonight for Leonard and I to share our marriage story. So my life began in the great state of Oklahoma, where I grew up. I was the third of four children with a mom who led our family and a dad who struggled with alcoholism. My parents separated when I was five and divorced 2 years later. I grew up going to church on Sundays but didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The ministry of Young Life introduced me to the gospel, Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and I responded in faith as a 16-year-old that Jesus' death on the cross paid the penalty for my sin. My new life experience happened on November 8th, 1980. I'm a little older, guys.
There's probably people who were not even born yet.
Oh, a lot of people who weren't born yet, I think.
Wow.
I know, wow. My faith in Christ grew through my 20s and 30s through personal study, biblical community, and church membership. However, there were a couple of areas in my life that lacked full surrender to the Lord. Guilt and shame would overcome me emotionally when I felt unaccepted, unloved, or insecure. I had a tendency to go back to old coping patterns when I wasn't living fully surrendered to Jesus. When I was young, I looked to others' achievements, both academically and athletically, or a mirror for acceptance, approval, and hope. And I used food to help push down my emotions when I didn't feel affirmed. So, if in my job, relationships, or my outer appearance didn't match what I thought it should be or what I interpreted others thought it should be, I struggled. In my 30s, God really worked in and through my heart, allowing me to deal emotionally and understand spiritually my full acceptance by God through Christ. These areas, guilt, shame, and overeating, are for sure old patterns that I can go back to in times of feeling out of control. But 2 Corinthians 5:17, which is a favorite verse of mine, is a constant reminder of my new life in Christ. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, the new have come." I often wondered in my 20s and 30s, if God's best for me was to remain single. I wanted to be married and had a fun social network of young adults that included both men and women, but I was pretty content with the work God was doing in and through me as a single woman. At 34, I moved to Dallas to pursue a master's degree, and I also began working at Watermark Community Church. After graduating, I helped the church begin specific ministries in the area of pastoral care, one being Celebrate Recovery, which is now called Regeneration. It was here that God would answer my question of singleness, as well as provide sweet community and accountability for me in my areas of struggle.
Do this.
Okay. Probably better.
Probably better.
We are one.
Well, before marriage, I came to Watermark through the doors of recovery, carrying the baggage of homosexuality and sexual identity issues. I grew up in the church, in a Christian home, accepted Jesus Christ as my personal savior at the age of 6. And around this time, I started down my own path of despair and hopelessness. I began to disengage with the same sex as my gender identity needs were not being met. Exposure to pornography and exploration with other boys further added to my confusion. And then, of course, the devastating years of adolescence came with the early shaping of my coping mechanisms. That is when I grappled with the underlying fear, could I actually be gay? In my sophomore year of college, I gave in to homosexual desires and had my first sexual experience. Alcohol would be the common denominator in my social network for the next 10 to 15 years and be a major trigger for acting out. I moved to Texas in March of 2001 on a temporary job rotation, and I was only supposed to be here for 18 to 24 months. Do the math. And I began attending Watermark that summer. In August of 2002, more than a year of creating a new rep for myself here in Dallas, I happened to read in the Watermark News about Celebrate Recovery. And I couldn't deny the contents of the 12 steps. My life was unmanageable and out of control. And it was the first time I ever verbalized my struggle and began my path of life change and redemption.
In August of 2002, God brought Leonard into my life. First with friendship, then a dating relationship that progressed into marriage. Everything changed for us. My life, which in my 20s and 30s was marked by a growing faith and contented singleness, now in my 40s, we were married at 41. Well, I was 41. He's a little bit older than me, guys. I entered into a new, different, and exciting life stage with a fulfilled desire to be married. I now had a lifelong partner. We had both journeyed through recovery as singles and were on the other side, or so we thought, knowing that we were married and ready to enter into the world pursuing oneness.
God did a work in my life, and I felt like I was on this spiritual fast track. Recovery, new life in Christ, healthy friendships, community, men in my life pointing me to Christ and what life could be in him. And then God moved my heart to another, and that was Mandy. And I fell in love, and I was on a roll. After dating a couple years, I proposed, and Mandy said yes. And we were married in August of 2006 and began a new life together, surrounded by the love and support of our community and key people in our lives that continue to encourage us in these uncharted waters of marriage. This is where I learned the meaning of Philippians 2, 3, and 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the other. 9 months into our marriage, we found out we were pregnant. We had no idea at our age that we would be having kids, and we're so excited, and I took this as another sign of being on that spiritual fast track. Hope was born in January of 2008, and we were living the newlywed newborn life. Things were going our way, we were superheroes having kids at our age, and I was convinced the Lord would continue to bless us with what we wanted, i.e. more kids. But I also began to feel the pressure to perform. I felt like we had this limited window to have more kids, and since we started and were successful, I felt like I had to finish it. In order to perform, I fell into homosexual fantasy during our physical intimacy, and instead of processing through the emotions of performance and those insecurities, I defaulted to old coping. Little did I know how this would impact our sex life going forward, and around this time, a dear friend confessed to an 11-year marital affair, and listening to her confession, the Holy Spirit convicted me. I heard him telling me, "You are no different than her." Your infidelity has been happening in your mind whenever you're fantasizing during physical intimacy. It was a crushing blow of realization, and I knew I had to confess to Mandy, and in doing so, it sent shockwaves through our marriage in the area of trust.
I was shocked with Leonard's confession, and throughout our first 4 years of marriage, we had kept short accounts with each other, drawing the circle around ourselves, owning our own part of the conflict, confessing our sins to each other, and being vulnerable with our community group. Our marriage wasn't perfect, but I felt like it was healthy and we were growing as a couple. I had no idea how our physical intimacy was tangled with Leonard's mental struggle because of his homosexual past. His confession hurt me deeply, and I tried to escape the pain, which had left me feeling betrayed, unloved, and insecure. After an authentic conversation with a member of our community group and some individual time in the Bible and prayer, God brought me to the book of Jonah when he was inside the belly of the fish. I ran from God trying to escape my pain, and Jonah ran from God because he was asked by God to call people to repentance. I knew that God was asking me to forgive Leonard, and Jonah knew God's response to a repenting people would be that of grace and compassion, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity. I knew that's how God wanted me to love Leonard, but both Jonah and I were faced with this difficult truth. Even if I didn't know how Leonard's actions could or would change, God was calling me to forgive him and be an extension of God's character to him. Could I trust God and be faithful to him? You see, a perfect marriage wasn't the goal, and it wouldn't heal my wounded heart. Christ, who healed my past hurts, was going to be the one who healed my present ones. Marriage was another opportunity for me to allow God's perfect love in and remind me my identity wasn't in my marriage or Leonard, but Christ.
I have one job, to be the man, the husband, and the dad. Okay, maybe that's three, but you get the picture. Lead self, serve and cherish my wife, and shepherd my kids. Those are the three legs of the relationship stool I'm responsible for. And when I'm being led by the Spirit, that is when I'm at my best. It takes daily intentionality on my part, and this is where the Lord's refining me in my relationships, to lead with compassion and not judgment. Not to place adult expectations on kids, especially adolescents, and keeping my expectations realistic and control the one thing I can, my responses. It has been a long season for me in this area, and the Lord continues to reveal to me my own selfishness, especially as it relates to marriage.
As we continue to grow our family with two great kids, one bio and one adopted, we are privileged to integrate family into our new lives in Christ. From singleness to marriage to family, how do I apply God's truth in parenting? How do I continue to walk in this new identity as a mom, not basing my worth on my children's performance, what others think of them, and what they look like? One of the struggles that I consistently have with being a parent is listening to understand versus telling to be understood. I believe that I'm a pretty great parent. I'm fun, encouraging, and ready to make a memory at a moment's notice. However, if it's not the kind of fun I like, or my kids' behavior doesn't deliver what I'm asking or on my timetable, my own plan or the way I think things need to happen can get in the way of my parenting and loving our kids the way Christ created them to be loved. I am selfish. I have a plan and often forget that I'm a child of God and that His plan is best, not only for me, but also for my marriage and especially for my children.
2021 was a year of transition for me and Mandy as well as our family, and honestly, it was a lot harder than we anticipated. In May of 2020, we left our jobs, sold our house, bought a truck and a fifth wheel, an RV, and headed west. Re-entry in lots of circumstances, including new jobs, parenting, as Mandy mentioned, and the busyness of this life stage have contributed to being siloed rather than unified. The old coping strategies for me had reared their ugly head more than that year than the past years, and as recently as a week before we gave our testimony in 2021. And the cycle of my confession and leaving out the last 2% asking forgiveness for both had been discouraging to Mandy and once again affected trust in our marriage and oneness. In order to build trust, I have to learn to communicate and let her in. Luke 9:23 says, "Then he said to them all, 'Whoever wants to be my disciples must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me.'" I used to apply this verse, and still do, to my struggle in recovery, but my struggle looked and looks a lot different after 4 years of marriage or 17 years of marriage. But the call is still the same, to take up my cross daily. And this still looks like leading self, communicating early and authentically, whatever the situation is. Emotional intimacy, physical intimacy, finances, and yes, even pursuing and dating Mandy. The other area to rebuild trust is tackling the issue at hand, thoughts, thought life, and my relationship with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." This has to be the way of life for me. I have to be intentional in my actions, and one way the Spirit revealed that to me was by this principle of taking thoughts captive to make it obedient to Christ in honoring my wife. We talked about the year of transition, but what I'm learning is every year is a year of transition. And it's going to be like that going forward, but the call is still the same. Love, cherish, and pursue my wife. Period. I can't continue to allow circumstances to be an excuse, so I have to acknowledge the circumstances and seek alternatives, and that's on me. Quite frankly, this is the very example of Luke 9, denying oneself and taking up their cross daily.
I want to close by reintroducing myself to you. Good evening. My name is Mandy, and I have a new life in Christ and struggle with selfishness, lack of trust, and lack of forgiveness, and how that affects my marriage and parenting. I want to avoid the pain that I cause or that I feel from others. However, God's best for me is to lean into any and every situation. God's best for me is to continue to trust and remind myself of my identity as a follower of Jesus, to love Leonard and our kids the way Christ does. The goal is not a perfect marriage or a perfect family. The goal is to remember Jesus Christ and how he has loved me perfectly. The integration of my identity in Christ in my marriage is a lifelong dance with Christ, Leonard, and I. The Lord couldn't have chosen a better partner for me. Leonard is patient, kind, and accepting of me. And together, we are learning as partners how Christ loves through us to each other and to our children. My encouragement to you is to find yourself in this story. Do you know that your identity is in Christ? Do you know that in Christ you're a new creation? Are you avoiding extending your spouse the love and forgiveness you have received from God through Christ? Are you in a dark place asking God for answers? Are you struggling with parenting and the effects this has on your marriage? Are you at a place in your marriage that God is calling you to give to others the comfort you have been given? Are you experiencing pain of how unloved, unwanted, and insecure you feel in your marriage? Are you struggling with the temptation from a nagging parts of a formal addiction and want to give up? Friends, if you relate to any of these questions, you are in the right place. Thank you for welcoming us here tonight, and thank you for listening to God's story of redemption in our lives and the work he is doing in our marriage. And thank you for letting us share.
Thank you.